Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
How are you, Cindy?
Oh, everything's good. We were rehearsing Beethoven today, and, you know, the play will
be
August 5th and 6th, and he's really doing very well, my Beethoven. You know, so thank goodness he's a musical genius unto himself, this actor. So, you know, things that I couldn't possibly direct him in, and no, he knows, you know? It's always good that way, so. I'm trying to enjoy it as much as I can, although it's just some days I get up and say, I needed more work. Is that what I needed? You know what I mean?
Well, sometimes we do need more work.
I guess it's a different kind of work. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, sometimes, you know, when you're a creative person, as you and I both are, you can get bored after a while. You know what I mean? If you know, I've always had like two or three
different
kinds of things.
Yeah, you gotta break up the monotony.
Gotta break. You know, it's like, and not that anything about my job is monotonous, but it's kind of like I sometimes need to get in the land of the living and a little bit out of the land of the dead. You know?
Yes, I would agree with that.
You know, when you talk to more dead people than living, it's a little scary. You know, so
yes, absolutely.
And, you know, and my job isn't getting easier, it's getting harder, because, like, when I do a psychic party, like, I have to talk to, like, eight dead people for each person, you know what I mean? And it's like, after a while, it's like, I'm exhausted at the end of the night. It's one person, I'm talking to eight dead people for that person. So, you know.
No, I completely hear that. I completely hear that.
You
know,
understand
what actually is. Oh, completely. And you know what? And it's what's terrible, too, is the fact that, you know, I think that years ago, there was a lot less skepticism. There was a lot less testing that went on, you know, because I know that you know, there are the skeptics out there. And, you know they overly complicate things, making your job all the more difficult. You know, I was talking to a couple of girlfriends from work, and they were like, oh, yeah, you know, we went in, you know, they had a psychic there, and, you know, and she sucked. And I'm like, well, what happened? And they were like, well, you know, not really a lot happened, but, like, I didn't want to tell her anything. So, you know, I was asking her all these kinds of questions. I'm like, well, that's where you went wrong. I'm like, you're sitting there, you're changing up your vibration, you're changing up your aura, you're changing around what you're thinking about. I'm like, how is anybody supposed to kind of hone in on who you were as a person to give you any sort of accuracy in the event that you did believe, when you're constantly changing up who you are to try to fool them into not being right about you? And they looked at me, and they're like, they really didn't see it that way. I'm like, yeah, hello.
If you go to a doctor, you know, he's got some blood work to look at. He's got stuff that kind of helps him with, you know, figure stuff out. He doesn't just, you know, his eyes are closed and don't tell me anything. And I have to guess what's going on. And probably why, if any times I like really seriously think about leaving what I do for a living, it's like I can't play the guess who's dead game all the time. And I can't be tested every day because it's exhausting. I mean, imagine meeting eight people
really
to do a psychic party. And, you know, nobody, you know, if they don't want to tell you anything, they don't even want to tell you that this is my mother and this is my sister, I have to start with nothing. And by the time I finish, like, 6 hours of this, I am so out of my mind because I've had to, you didn't give me the little facts that I needed to make my job easy. Yeah, I did it. You all think so great, you know, because you think I'm all so wonderful because you didn't tell me anything or whatever, but you made my job hell. You made my job 10,000 times harder, and now you burnt out my brain so that when I'm driving home, I don't even know my own name. So I'm like, that's the part where sometimes I just say, you know, after 24 years of doing this, you know, I tell people all the time, I read way more people than I want to read. Like in a day, I read so many, I don't even want to. Like, if you don't have some belief in who I am at this point, don't even bother coming to me because I don't want to read you. I don't care to prove to you anything because it really is not my job.
Exactly.
I really don't care at this point. You know what I mean? It's not my job. I don't care to impress you or whatever. I care to help you, guide you, give you messages from the other side that you want to hear and that you need to hear. And I always tell people, tell me what you know and I'll tell you what you don't know about what you think you know. Okay, that's my job.
Yeah.
You know, you may know you're married, but I may know a hell of a lot more of what's going on in that marriage than you do because the dead will tell me that. But to just sit there and like, well, you know, don't put your wedding ring on and don't get, this is so stupid. It's like when you don't do that to a normal person
really
in life.
Is.
Are we supposed to, I said, God doesn't know everything. What makes you think that psychics know everything? I don't pretend to know everything. I wouldn't even go there. You know, I'm pretty confident after reading 10,000 people that I do kind of know what I'm doing, and if you give me a half a chance, you know, I think you'll get what you want. But this parlor game all the time, it's a little bit, I sort of like outgrew it now, and that, you know, that whole, you know, need to prove something, it's like it's so yesterday to me, you know. So
I feel for you sometimes too, because even like when we read new people on the radio show, I kind of get the impression that some people are trying to do that, you know, and it's very, very frustrating because it's like, and you know, and you said it best when you said, you know, when you related to a doctor, but you know, for me, it's just, it's a little bit of a difference there because, you know, I mean, screw the blood work and everything else, you know, the way that I see at least what you do, not all psychics, because I do know that there are people out there that do not have the best of intentions as you do, and there are also people out there that may have had some great talent that are kind of misusing that talent a little bit, which I do not respect, and they're using that to take more advantage of people, and they're doing it, you know, mainly just for the profit, but not for the profit and the ability to help people. So, you know, and that goes the same with any sort of profession that you're in. You will always have the people that have got integrity, and you will always have the people that don't, no matter what your profession is. But that being said, when it comes to what you do specifically, I don't really think of it as psychic readings. I don't really think of it as just, you know, overall anything to do with mysticism. What I think of it is more along the lines of life coaching and therapy. You know,
right,
so
exactly.
With that, if you were going to a therapist or a doctor, would you lie about your symptoms? Would you not be honest about what it is that you're experiencing if you go to these people? I would hope not. So for you, it's like, you know, they can't expect you to guess. You know, this is not the world of the movies where somebody looks at you and you just suddenly know everything that the person did since they were three. You know, this is a very, very practical, very, very real experience. And you know what? There's nothing against just overall honesty and candor when you're having an experience like this, because it will help you do your job easily and it'll help them get more accurate information.
Exactly. And I said, you know, if you tell me nothing, I'm probably 90% accurate, I would say, at this point. But if you cooperate with me, I'm like 99 here. And I'm like 99% plus here. You know what I mean? So I'm like, for your own benefit, you know, if you want the most, you know, out of your reading, if I ask you a question, it's because I'm here. It's not an exact science to hear the dead. It's I'm filling in dots and this and that. And if I'm not sure, I'm not just going to say something. I want to be like really sure that I'm getting something accurately or correct. And then, you know, I need a little sometimes confirmation from you that, okay, this is, you know, I'm in the right zone here. And it just is just one of those things. It's a dialogue. It's an energetic dialogue between two people. It's like anything else in life. When you talk to people who don't cooperate with you, who lie, who twist and turn truth, who don't, it makes your life so hard to figure out what's going on. Why don't you just put your cards on the table and tell me what you're thinking?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And you know, I spent half my life telling people you wouldn't need me if you would just tell people to put the cards on the table and tell what the story is.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with a psychic reading. If you want to get the best reading, you know, cooperate. And of course, if you find out, you're doing a psychic and you realize the person wasn't good or whatever, well, they weren't going to be good no matter what. So it doesn't matter if you told them something, didn't tell them something. They're not going to be good. And if you're so, and I love the way they say, oh, they're so impressed. She knew I was married. Like, yeah, so didn't you know that? So you paid $100 to find out you were married? Like, well, did you waste your money or what? Like, it's stupid. It's stupid. What did you learn? What did you get out of it?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
So, I mean, it's funny because I think, you know, something comes with age. You know, I think I'm to the point where, you know, I sort of lose patience with certain things. And, you know, and I pretty much walk around going, really, I don't care what you think or don't think or believe or don't believe. Really, I don't care. Do you know what I mean? Like, how does it affect my life? Do you know what I mean? Like,
it
I don't
really
care. And that really does it. So, you know, just for edification with people, if you putting your money in a psychic, try to make sure it's one you trust or you've done your research and your homework on, and then give the person a little bit of, cooperation. And if you find out they weren't good, then don't go back again or whatever.
Exactly. But just like with the people that also don't get readings too, you know, even if the person's not good, you know what, try to get something positive out of the experience. Maybe they, you know, say something that triggers something in you. Maybe they say something that reminds you of something that you forgot. Take something good away from the experience, and then you just go to somebody that's a little bit more reputable next time, or maybe you can get all the, you know, all the best information that time if you didn't get it the first time.
Exactly. And it's something that is, if when it's a good reading, you'll know instinctively, you'll know it. And also, sometimes people don't get good readings if they keep running to a psychic to psychic. Like, they'll just go to 10 different psychics in a week. And then I'll tell them, you're not going to get any guidance at that point. I don't care how good a psychic is, because the universe is saying,
you can't
you've
keep
got
jumping
the answer
to hear
probably
what you want to hear.
Right. And at that point, you're just wasting your money. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you keep running, and you keep getting too frequent readings, even sometimes when we're even told here not to read the same people all the time in a week or whatever, because if I've read you last week or 2 weeks ago, you've got to process for like a month or two or longer what's been given.
Yeah.
Nothing changes in a second. You know what I mean? So, you know, I just want to know now. Well, we told you 2 weeks ago, and you have to wait, or you have to, you know, be patient. It doesn't get sped up because you get another reading and you pay for another reading. And, you know, it's another thing. People kind of think about psychics the way they think about, like, when they want to lose weight and they think all I have to do is sign up for a gym and I pay like $800 for the gym membership and then I'm going to lose weight. Like, they don't go to the gym or they don't do anything. I mean, just because you pay a psychic money doesn't mean you're going to get every answer to every question in your life and everything solved. Like, that's not how it works. You know, so I kind of laugh because it's a capitalist culture, and that's kind of what people think. And mostly I tell people, you know, you have to wait 6 weeks for a reading from me. And it's the universe wants you to wait 6 weeks because whatever you think you needed a reading for today isn't really what you're going to need it for in 6 weeks. They know what you're going to need it for in 6 weeks, okay? This little ditty problem is gone away. So, you know, interesting, I trust in the process of waiting, of divine guidance, and, you know, most humans just have to learn a little patience, don't you think? A little bit of patience.
Yes. I think everybody can do well with a little bit of patience.
Okay, you know, and it's the hardest lesson for us to learn. Even when I'm doing the Beethoven play, it's very hard because, you know, it's baby steps each day toward the project, and you want it, everything done, you want it all done, right? But, you know, no, it takes time to get it done. You know, it has to evolve, it has to brew, it has to, you know, but of course you want everything done. It should be done. All should be done. And I have to fight against that. I have to say, nope, it's a process and it will be done in the due time. But, you know, some things are not going to gel just yet. It's not going to be exactly right yet. And it's not supposed to be exactly right. It's supposed to evolve and grow. So I get tested.
Yep.
I think probably that's why God wanted me to do this Beethoven project, because it forces me to have all of my little insecurities, all my control freak stuff tested. You know, so,
yeah. Well, that's true, but you know what? I think that it's also God's way of telling you that, you know what, that you've got more than one talent, and that it really, really is a damn shame if you let one talent fall wayside in lieu of another. So, you know, you are a very, very talented, you know, playwright. You are a very, very talented writer, you know, and although you do have two very, very fantastic books, this is a completely different, you know, realm for you. You know, even though you did it when you were, you know, younger, I think in college you had mentioned, you know, or something like
right.
that, you know, but, you know, but I mean, I think that it's a shame that, you know, for you to let some of those things fall wayside in lieu of, you know, and having to pick one or the other. So I think this is the universe's way of telling you that just because you've settled in here and just because you're so successful at this, that it doesn't mean that you cannot still spread your wings a little bit further, because I think that it'll bring you a matter of peace that you normally would not have had you just let that fall dormant.
Exactly. And now that you gave me my reading for the day, and I hope that everybody heard her wisdom, because if you're stuck in a little peg in one spot, maybe you can branch out in another direction, is pretty much what she's saying, because it's always good to challenge ourselves, expand ourselves. And sometimes I wonder why I keep doing this. And I say, why don't I just coast on what I've got and just relax? But it seems to be something in my nature and in a lot of people's nature that we don't coast. We got to challenge ourselves. We have to push it a little further. So I think a lot of times when people stay in jobs they hate and you know, in a life they hate, it's because they won't spread their wings a little bit. They won't take a risk. They won't try something new because it's scary. You know what I mean? I know I'm successful at this. Maybe I'll fall flat on my face at something else, you know. But we have to try. We always have to try, you know. And we're never too old to try. And if you want to stay young, I think you got to challenge yourself for sure. So I think
we don't grow if we don't challenge.
Now, we did have the 401 person, and that person had pressed 1, and they were waiting for a long time, and then their number doesn't look like it's pressed yet. Again, so
no,
if
well,
you're
you
the
know
401,
what they did, and then they dropped down. So you want to go try there? Because as usual, guys, we do not screen
well,
the first caller.
I don't know
caller,
if they want.
Okay,
if this person wants to talk to us, but if you do, press the 1 again, so we know.
Okay, there
the
we go. 401. There.
Okay.
Did they go? No, they didn't go. Okay. Oh, nope. Yes, they did.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay. So as usual, people, I do not screen the first call. We're going to jump right into the 401 area code. I believe that might be Rhode Island. And we're going to see who's waiting for us there. And then I'm going to duck into the chat room. And as Cindy said, if you wish to speak to us, please press the number 1 so that I get a lovely little message saying that you would like to speak to us on the air tonight. So let's see who is waiting for us in Rhode Island. Hello, you
it
are
is
on
Rhode
the air.
Island. Hi, it is Rhode Island.
It is Rhode Island,
Island.
Yeah.
Amanda.
Okay, so we don't get very many callers from Rhode Island, so you know, I'm fascinated we have you. And what's your name?
My name is Fernanda.
Okay, and you've been waiting a long time, so there must be something on your mind tonight.
It is. And I know you're doing all about love, but I was wondering, are you doing any readings that you could give me some insights about something love-wise that I'm really confused? Not just confused.
Yes, that. Okay. How long have you been with this particular person?
Okay. Actually, we were together 16 years, married 16 years, and we've been separated for now almost 7 months.
Okay. Relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. So at the 15-year mark onto 16, things probably were starting to really fall apart. And what I could see is, you know, he's not really playing fair with you in every way.
No.
Are you aware of that?
Yes,
and
he's actually
got,
in another relationship right now, a very toxic relationship.
I'm glad you know that, because the cards that I got was him not playing fair with you. You guys had once been soulmates, because there's a soulmate card across from that. And then I got the devil card next to him, which is a toxic relationship. And when you first met him, I'm sure you had that heart, soul, mind, body connection, because I wouldn't have gotten this card if you hadn't
actually,
started
we had
soulmate.
Until the day he left, believe it or not. We had it.
I believe that. I believe it because your card, you know, you came up as you guys were soulmates. Sometimes when a person's in a long-term relationship and they get sort of lured into a toxic relationship, it isn't about love. It's about a subconscious the little child in us, our subconscious mind, you know, sometimes has unhealed issues from our childhood about our parents, about their marriage, about other stuff. And that subconscious child drives us to go to a relationship that is essentially very toxic. It may at first feel like love. It has a lot of chemistry because it's just, you know, it's this subconscious connection.
But that's the thing, it doesn't, you know. They fight more in a month than me and him ever fought in 16 years. He actually ended up in the hospital with a heart attack last week.
Well, I'm not surprised because toxic love ends in a courtroom, a jail, a morgue, or an emergency room, okay, because it gets so violent. And the fighting is a form of chemistry, by the way. It's a form of, you know, he has some anger issues, your husband, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're a nice person. And
thank you.
You don't give him reasons to scream, rage, and go crazy, okay?
No.
But when we gravitate to somebody who's toxic, it's our unhealed childhood anger that brings us there. And, you know, he gives it as good as she gives it. They fight like cats and dogs with each other. I mean, he's wrong, she's wrong. And he's trying to figure out, like, why in God's name did he leave, you know, you for her? I mean, first of all, she's the princess that became the beast. You know, like when you're married for 15 years, sometimes people tend to take each other for granted a little bit. And we don't do it on purpose, but we have work, we have children, everything gets in the way. And, you know, all of a sudden somebody comes along who's a real unfixable, a real narcissist, okay? And they tell us everything we want to hear, and we're the most fascinating person they ever saw, and they stroke our ego, and they tell us everything we want to hear. And then he got lured into that, and now he's seeing who she really is, and she's really crazy. And this
but
is
why
a really
can't
pretty...
walk away. That's
because
my concern
toxic love
is so more about his own health now. You know, I'm so concerned about him.
Of course, because you love him.
Yes, and I just want to... Do you think he'll step away from this relationship at all?
Well, you think it would be that easy, but toxic love is an addiction. Like, if anybody's ever, you know, judged an addict because they don't drink or they don't do drugs and they think they're so great, God usually gives us a toxic relationship that we get really hooked on worse than heroin. Okay? Yeah. They're hooked on each other, and they're hooked in dysfunction. Now, do you know about his parents' marriage, by the way?
I do.
Okay, and what would you say about it?
They are still together, but I know my father-in-law kind of cheated on my mother-in-law a couple of times.
Okay, thank you. Now, the three-year-old in him, in your husband, that judged his father very harshly. When we're little,
and
his
father was very, very hard on him. He had a horrible growing up.
Because
his father was very... not violent with him, but I would say violent, very strict. And between him and his brother, they were only 18 months apart, and he took the brunt of it all to this day.
Right, because his father has a very bad temper. And what happens when he was little, he judged his father. If I were married, I'd be lovey-dovey. I'd never cheat. I'd never do that. I would never do anything like that. And God has a funny way of making us become our parent, the one we judged very harshly. And somehow he was lured in his subconscious mind to this affair, and he's, you know, angry at himself for this. He also has a lot of rage from his childhood. It's, you know, you can't be raised by a rageaholic and not have rage. Okay, it's there. He may have suppressed it with you, denied it, but it's surfacing and it's coming up. And he's becoming his father right now.
He hates himself for it.
And that's why he ended up having a heart attack, because he's a good person. And he doesn't really know why he's in this mess he did, because he has no idea that his subconscious mind made him relive certain aspects of his parents' marriage. Only he picked a woman who's a lot like his father, not like his mother. She's a lot like the father. You know, this woman has rage issues. She's probably been sexually abused from what I could see here. She's rageful.
She's crazy.
She was sexually abused,
yes.
Okay, I'm glad you know that.
She was sexually abused, and also she's also known as the town whore, believe it or not.
Okay, well, I believe this because his father exhibits signs of a person who is sexually abused, which is he has a lot of rage, the father. Okay, sexually abused people have a rage. You know, they don't, you know, necessarily molest their kids, but they'll beat the hell out of them. It's a symptom of it. So he picks someone who's like his father, someone who was sexually abused, someone who has rage, and he's trying to prove that he could have fixed Daddy. So he's taking on the role of his mother with this woman. I'm going to fix her. I'm going to save her because I could have fixed Daddy. I could have loved him enough that he wouldn't have cheated and that he wouldn't have beat us and all of that. So what's going on is he's reliving his parents' dysfunctional marriage with her. And he broke his heart because he doesn't love her. You know, it's dysfunction. And he knows he hurt you and that he broke your heart. So good people get heart attacks. Notice his father is going to live to be 110, okay? Unfixables never fucking die. They live forever, these people, okay? They go on and on and on.
His father's had 5 heart attacks himself.
And he's still alive.
And he's still alive,
You can't kill these people, okay? They don't want to meet their maker. They don't die. But now, you know, it broke his heart, and he's very confused, very torn. And, you know, have you gone to see him since he's had the heart attack? Does he let you see him? Does he talk with you?
We were talking, and all of a sudden he blocked my number just a couple of days ago because of her.
Well, she made him. She made him because sexually abused people are pathologically jealous, okay?
Yes. Yeah,
she'd freak out.
Yeah, because
she goes crazy when he talks to you.
Some stuff. Yeah, because we met 2 weeks ago, and she found out that we met for coffee, and all of a sudden this week he blocked my number. And actually, he was supposed to be paying, because we don't have children together, but we do have dogs, and he's supposed to be paying for the dog. And he's refusing to do any assistance for the dogs or anything like that. And I think I heard it's because of her.
Right, because, you know, when it makes sense why you would be so pathologically jealous if you've been sexually abused. You know, envision someone who's been molested by their father. Why would she trust him near his mother or anybody else? I mean, it kind of makes sense, but she's so jealous. She also knows that you and him were soulmates. And that, you know, he's never said anything bad about you to her. He's never talked bad about you to her. You know, it's not, you didn't start with, oh, my wife doesn't understand me, you know, that kind of stuff. That's not what happened. And she knows that he still loves you. And she knows that, you know, he doesn't know why he's with her. So she's making him block you. And you know, toxic love does have an unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, we don't abandon each other. He's got some real fears of abandonment. And it's really just all his unhealed childhood issues are surfacing here. So oftentimes when, you know, I was talking about this with Nicole before the show started, you know, sometimes when people think that they're so in love with somebody, but it's more of an obsession, it's because it mirrors something from our childhood. And that's trying to be healed. And, you know, he's, you know, also pushing you very hard. Like he's trying to figure out why his mother never left his father, even though he cheated, even though he abused the kids. And he's doing to you what his father did to the mother. He's being abusive to you. He's cheating on you. He's breaking your heart. And he's pushing you to do what his mother should have done, leave the father. So he doesn't know why he's pushing you away. I don't think he will survive this relationship if he were to stay with her. I think he'll end up, you know, having another heart attack, and he's not his father. I don't think he would survive this. And, you know,
so
have you told him that you still love him?
I have, and I've told him I forgive him. I've told him everything. He's created himself in a big financial mess for himself, and I've even told him, I said, I can help you. But, you know, you can stay with her in order for me to help you, you know. Even if we don't get back together, I told him, I'm here to help you. I want to help you.
And realize that his financial, you know, ruin that he's in is a form of fiscal infidelity. He's now cheated on money with you. You know, not only with another woman, but he's put you in, he's put himself into financial ruin. Do you know if he was looking at a lot of porn, by the way?
Probably.
Meanwhile,
I know he also cheated on her on dating websites.
Right, because what I can see is that he's got some sex addiction, okay, just as his father did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, porn feeds sex addiction. And even though, you know, and our listeners should listen carefully to what I'm saying, do not take lightly if your mate looks at a lot of porn, okay, because internet porn is not government regulated. It has all kinds of subliminal messages for you to cheat, for you to get kinkier, for you to spend money. And then a woman like this, a woman who's been sexually abused, who can lure him in with kinky sex, okay, can make him think, you know, and all of a sudden he's cheating because the porn he's been looking at has been brainwashing him to cheat and to want kinkier and kinkier. So he's got a porn addiction going on here, and
I think he has a drinking addiction now.
I was going to say,
he's
drinking a lot. I saw that here too. So
I
right
don't know
now
if he's involved in drugs as well. I don't know.
It looks like
is.
There's some kind of drugs here too. So what it looks to me, and that's what internet porn tells you. Don't you want sex to feel better? Don't you want this? And it encourages a lot of masturbation. And masturbation becomes a very narcissistic act after a while. It's not about making love.
It's so funny you're saying that, because he actually ordered like Viagra and things like that from Canada.
Okay.
Since he's been with her.
So you know what I'm talking about. So what's going on here is it's all about, you know, he's got this sex addiction going on. I think your husband was sexually abused, by the way, and I don't want you to tell him this.
No, he was.
Because this is the issue that's coming up.
He told me that. Yes,
okay,
my cousin.
Okay, so what's going on is when people are sexually abused, sometimes they can have sex addiction. Sometimes they can exhibit this kind of behavior. Not everybody who's sexually abused exhibits sex addiction. I was sexually abused. Didn't give me a license to be a sex addict, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But other people can do that. And what he's doing is he's trying to heal that part of his being. And he's mad. Nobody protected him. You know, a lot of people are sexually abused, and nobody protects people, okay? Nobody gets punished for what they're doing. But he's a pretty unfixable man right now, as long as he's looking at porn, drinking, doing the drugs. You know, he's got the sex addiction going on. He's very narcissistic and manipulative at this point.
But I don't think he can actually function because of this heart, because even before this heart attack, he was on heart medication, and that causes...
Well, also, too much Viagra is not good for your heart, by the way.
I know. And that he started taking those after, like I said, he left the house, but... I know that was already an issue sex-wise, even when we were together, because of this heart pills. So I think I believe that was one of the reasons he might have had a heart attack, because I think he might have stopped the heart medication because of this woman and taking the Viagra and Cialis and all that other stuff.
Right, exactly. And that's what it looks like here. I mean, for you, you know, I would tell you right now, you know, to kind of work on yourself and get yourself strong. I mean, this man
I feel
is
I'm
really...
Strong. I feel I'm strong. I worry for him. I really worry for him that by staying in this relationship, it's just going to, like you said, kill him.
And I can see that he's not his father, because he has a good heart. His father doesn't have a good heart, okay? Never did, never will, okay? But he has a good heart. And when we have good heart and we find ourselves becoming like our parent, the one we swore we'd never become, it kills us. It kills me the times I've acted like my father, a lunatic, a maniac, okay? I swear I'd never be that person. But life has a funny way of, you know, giving us life lessons that make us become what we don't want to become. And so for him, you know, I'm seeing he needs a lot of therapy. And without therapy, you know, there's not much
hope
for
you having...
You
don't see him leaving.
I see him leaving her, but even if he came back to you, he's still hooked on the porn. He's going to cheat. He's going to go on the dating sites. He's not going to be loyal to you, and I'm more concerned about you staying with a man who would do that to you, because he could bring you STD. Do you want to get a venereal disease?
Right. No. And it's not even so much, even though I'm still totally in love with my husband, it's not so much about coming back. Right now, my main concern is him getting help. And I think that he can't get help as long as he's with this woman.
Right, and you have to be careful, because you're in the territory of the dysfunctional triangle called rescue a persecute a victim. You want to rescue him, and you're going to end up being victimized by him and her, and he's going to end up persecuting you and telling you, leave me alone, I don't want to be near you, and it's going to keep going around that dysfunctional triangle. You've delivered your message to him that you're here for him if he needs it, and now back off. And don't, because it'll only make her crazier, lock him up more, you know. So, So yeah, we don't want to feed that. Give him a little time. He misses you. He loves you. He's the kind of person that if he were to die tomorrow and you would have called into the show to talk, he would be telling me, you know, I love you. I would have, could have, should have done better. Forgive me. He's going to have a lot of regrets because you are, you know, I keep getting the soulmate card. You were the love of his life, but she's all his unhealed issues. He's trying to prove he could fix his dad who was sexually abused, trying to fix this woman, and she's a very unfixable woman, and she's a pretty dangerous woman in many ways. She's very vengeful. She'll have him arrested. If he tries to leave her, she'll say he beat her, he raped her, and he'll be in jail. Because, you know, she's got that kind of rage. She's also the kind of sexually abused person that they don't just kill themselves. They go kill a classroom of 20 people. Like, she's not going – she's a suicide waiting to happen, but she's not going to just kill herself. She's going to kill him and anybody else that's in the area because she's really very, very violent and crazy. So for you, step back. If he comes to you, you know, offer him some help and assistance, but don't get roped into all the drama here. And he definitely needs therapy. And I don't see him breaking away from her in a minute here. I see this going on for a while, only because he's drinking, he's using drugs, he's doing all kinds of crap. He's not in his right mind. And, you know, all of this is, you know,
so you don't see it anytime soon where you would walk away from this.
No, I mean, the heart attack was a wake-up call. But if you didn't wake up from that, I don't know, you know, how many, you know, what Jesus would say is how many wake-up calls do I have to give this guy before he wakes up?
Exactly.
You know, you lost
exactly.
your wife. You had a heart attack. You're in financial ruin. You're with a lunatic who's going to call the police on you. I mean, at what point is he going to wake up and smell the coffee? And,
exactly.
So, you know, for you, do us a favor and call in again.
I will.
You know, in a few weeks, and just it's hard to be patient. But we were talking about that earlier in the show. Sometimes the hardest thing for people to do is to do nothing, and to just send
it's
him
just
love.
It's so
on
hard because you know this is the same man that 2 days before he left my house came home with a dozen roses. The same man that 2 days before went out and traded my car for 2017. You know, it's like all the things. He was such a caring man, a wonderful man, and. The person that he is now is not someone I recognize. But besides that, it just it's so hard to see him in this, where he's at. And that's what kills
me. Of course it is. It's very hard to watch people we love. But you don't have children. And in some ways, you're mommy to a boy right now. And you would never abandon your children. It's hard for you to walk away. But as mothers, we've had to watch our children abuse drugs or alcohol, do stupid crap. And we're out of control. We can't do anything about it. We can't fix it. We can't save them. You know, we can deliver our messages. We can, you know, we can pray. But you're in a position of what it's like to be a mother when you love a child and they're out of control. And so, you know, welcome to the world of, you know, parenting. But, you know, soulmates aren't mommy to, you know, they're mommy to boys. Soulmates have to be two equals. And right now you're not two equals. I mean, he's in some ways your master. He'll call the shots, you know, when you could come near him and when you can't. But this mommy to a boy thing makes it really hard to walk away from a man. So you have to stop being mommy at this point. And, you know, let him fall where he falls. Pray he doesn't fall that hard. But sexually abused people are a suicide waiting to happen. He's killing himself. He's not taking a gun and blowing his brains out, but he's killing himself. And, you know, of course, part of it is, you know, that his cousin was never punished, I'm sure. You know, the situations, you know, you just feel angry about the whole situation. I mean, and as much as he might think his father, you know, the mother was a victim of the father, where the hell was she protecting him? Where was she? His anger is at her, too. You know, the better parent. So it's very complicated what's going on in him. It's unhealed issues that are surfacing. But for you, I would, you know, focus on your work and taking good care of yourself, eating well, maybe going to the gym or going for walks, doing stuff that keeps you healthy so you don't get sick from this. And try to sleep and know that, you know, you love him.
That's the hardest part is the sleep.
I know. I know. It's very hard. No, yeah, it's very hard to sleep. So you might want to, like, go on YouTube before you go to sleep or one of the things and do some, like, breathing meditation, guided meditation a little bit before you go to sleep. If you're just laying there not sleeping, you might as well do meditation, guided meditation, because at least it puts positive thoughts in your head, relaxes you, and then will help you fall asleep. But do call in, because I know our listeners would love to hear more from you. And, you know, we'll pray that he opens, you know, that his eyes are open. And unfortunately, this is a very addictive culture. It's a capitalist culture. They want your money. Porn gets expensive after a while. Chat rooms get expensive. Drugs are expensive. They just want people to, like, be decadent and spend all their money. So it's a culture that's, like, it's a monster almost. People have, like, too much money now. In the past, people never spent money on alcohol and drugs the way they do now, or porn. I mean, it's ridiculous, the amounts of money that they'll spend. It's crazy. But it's a testimony to this culture. It's a very, very hard culture to raise children or be any people in it. It's disgusting.
Yeah. I know, well, believe it, even though I don't have children with him, I do. I am a teacher, so I work with small children, so I know how it is.
You know what I'm talking about, how it is for parents to sometimes not be able to control a child. Or, I mean, it's always
I work
in my
special needs. I work with special needs children. So,
so you know that certain people will not be fixed in this lifetime, and he may be one of them. I mean, he may not be capable of healing this issue in this lifetime. But what I would tell you is, if, you know, if he wants to come back to you, your agreement would have to be he has to be in therapy, and you have to be in, you know, marriage counseling together, but he has to be in private therapy.
Of course, that would be most definitely. Right now, is I want him to get therapy, even not coming back to me. I just want him to get therapy. I just want him to walk away from this situation.
That's because you're a very good person. You're a good
person.
That's
what I need. Thank you.
You love unselfishly. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us. And please remember, we're here for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Many blessings.
Bye.
And see you. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Oh boy, that was a hard call. She's such a lovely woman.
That really
isn't she?
Oh
that
my God!
And
even
one.
In all of this, she's still looking out for his best interest.
That's because some people are just genuinely good people, you know.
Good. You're not kidding.
Just good. Uh huh. And that's how you could tell it's different. Like, he's obsessed with that woman. Okay, the woman he's with. And that's not healthy. That's just obsession, and you don't want the best for a person. If he tries to leave her, she's going to call the police. He'll call the police on her. You can tell when someone truly loves someone, because even if they're, you know, in a different spot in life where they're hurting you, you still don't wish harm on them. You know, you still, you know, wish good for them. And that you could see is true, a person that truly loves another human being. So it's always nice to even though she's hurting, to hear someone who really knows how to love.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And she hasn't even given up hope still.
Well, I mean, I didn't see it hopeless, by the way. She's still listening. I didn't see it hopeless. I just think that she cannot take him back.
Oh, yeah,
therapy.
No, that's what I'm saying. She didn't give up hope.
Right.
She's
giving
up hope on love or anything else. So she's just letting a different kind of love prevail. You know, I mean, her love, not anything to do with that knucklehead that you know, that's doing this. But, you know, just love in general, you know, I mean, she's letting the better love prevail.
Exactly. The higher love that she feels in her heart.
Yeah.
So we do have Lena, by the way. And, she's the 561 number.
Let me see here. Because you broke up
top.
There, Cindy. What'd you say?
Lena.
Oh, Lena? Oh, yes. Lena Facebooked you, Cindy, and she's having an issue, and there's some harassment, and we need to get to the bottom of this.
Okay, good.
All right. Let's talk to Lena.
Hi,
Cindy. Hello, Lena. You're on the air.
Hi, Lena. I know you've been through a lot. Did you find another job yet?
No, I've got an interview tomorrow, so I'm hoping that comes through, because I'm still living out of my car, and I'm being harassed by a man who wants me to go live with him, and he's getting very spiteful on Facebook, and he makes up fake profiles, and now he's threatening me, so it's just, he's got people following me around town, harassing me, because I won't go live with him in Orlando, which is 3 hours away from where I'm living.
Okay, and, you know, have you told him, you know, you don't want him bothering you anymore? Have you said this? And are you thinking of calling the police? if people are following you?
He doesn't do it himself. He sends other people. He's 3 hours away from me. See, he must have done this before. He knows how to, you know what I mean? He knows how to work the system.
Right. But, you know, when do they talk to you, these people?
They just say stupid stuff that I know is related to him, because the stuff that I've said to him, it comes out of their mouth. You know what I mean? Stupid stuff.
And where do you run into these people?
Like at the coffee shop, Einstein, Starbucks, stuff like that. I even changed where I was going. And the past month, I've gotten 2 flats in my car because I was going to go stay with my friend Mike. And then he found that out, and he got vicious, spiteful, vindictive.
Okay, do you block him now, like from
talking
to you?
Yeah, I blocked him today. I told him today I'm finished with him. His last message to me was, you're probably going to blame me on a next flat tire.
Okay, and I see that he's not going to stop bothering you for a little bit, but basically, are you just going to start ignoring him in general? You know, not communicating with him. Like,
no,
I wouldn't even. Okay, but you know, you're not even going to call him if somebody bothers you. I wouldn't even call him if somebody bothers you. I'd do nothing because it's, you know, he gets a thrill out of this. So, you know, you really don't want to. You know, if he sees it's not bothering you, you don't care, he'll probably stop them from going after you and from harassing you. I don't see any harm going to come to you from these people. I just see they're annoying. Okay, so
yeah, that's annoying.
Just annoying. And, you know, he's also a pathological liar, this guy.
Yeah, and he owns porno sites.
He owns porno sites?
Yeah, he's addicted
to porn. He owns them?
Yeah, he owns them.
Oh, he makes money. That's how he makes his living?
Yeah, he's a retired IT guy, and he does that on the side. So it's just, I didn't want to get involved with anybody like that. That's filthy, dirty. Anybody's addicted to that, I don't want any part of.
Okay, and I'm seeing he's got, you know, pretty issues that we saw, you know, with our other caller before that, you know. You know, when they look at a lot of porn, they start being a little nuts in the head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, he thinks he owns you. And
yeah.
How did you meet him originally? Just, you ran
2 years
into him?
I met him at Starbucks, and it turned into like a fatal attraction. I don't even know where this came from. I never even went on a date with this guy. I told him no, I didn't want to go. And then it turned into, he started following me on my dating site. I had to block my date. I had to get off my dating site. Then he went on my Facebook. He attached to all the websites I go on. I mean, he's like a piece of gum on my
shoe. But also, you said he's an IT person, so they're able to stalk you on the internet. Good, because they know how to do
yeah.
this. Like I wouldn't know how to do this stuff, but you could see, you know, that he does. I mean, I'm not seeing any harm coming to you. You know, I just see that he's just gonna annoy you as much as he can, and. You know, if you ever feel threatened, I would go to the police, and you know, I wouldn't. I just wouldn't like feed into this because he kind of likes when you get upset.
Yeah,
he
scammed me out of $100 too. You know what I mean? How do you scam $100 out of someone you know they're homeless? That's just low. And then he wanted me to give up my car and go live with him. Yeah, he wanted me to sell my car, go live with him, and we could have one car. And, you know, I would clobber him over the head because I'm not you know what I mean? I'm not that type of woman.
Right, no. And, you know, I just see that he's not going to, like, leave you alone if he can, you know, if he can bother you, he'll bother you. But after a while, he'll just get tired of you not giving him any feedback about it or not, you know, just don't even pay much attention to him. And it's just annoying right now because you need this like a hole in the head.
Yeah, he knows. Unfortunately, I told him too many things, that I was homeless. I should have never told him that because he fed off of it and said he'd spread lies about me around town and this and that. And I mean, my gosh, this man is vindictive, like revengeful.
Wow. You're very vengeful. And, you know, I think he just thought that because you were homeless, you know, you'd go live with him and you'd almost like be his slave. I think he's,
yeah.
Uh-huh. And that you would be so happy, you know,
yeah.
just to be able to live somewhere. And, you know, I don't know how you do this living in your car all this time. I really don't know how you do this. You know, just the job that you have for tomorrow, the interview, is it for a job that you think you're going to like? Because it looks pretty good here.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it was supposed to be on Wednesday, and then the woman, something happened, and we scheduled for tomorrow. So I'm hoping that the money is good, and you know, everything seems pretty good. I mean, it just, I need something to get me on my feet so I can get the hell out of this car and get in a place to live where I feel more safer.
Of course, it's hard to feel safe out in the car. I don't think he's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just if you feel in any way really threatened, you do have to call the police on him. But I don't think he you know, he's too smart. He doesn't really want that. You know, he doesn't really want trouble. So he's just right now just, you know, bugging you. He's got to find a new obsession. Pray he finds somebody else to be obsessed with. You know,
I don't really know where it came from. I mean, was this really love or is this just a sick obsession? I mean, it's like he tells, you know, I mean, I'm 50 pounds overweight than a normal girl. So then go find a woman that's 50 pounds lighter. I mean, what am I supposed to do? How can you be obsessed?
Well, also, you have to understand that we were talking about the man before with this obsession. People get obsessions that they think is love, but it's not love. You know, it's crazy.
No, I would never.
No, and, you know, just know that he was trying to take advantage of you at a moment of weakness. That's all.
Oh, I know.
He thought you were
Thank
like,
God.
You thought you were easy prey, you know? And,
no.
You know, he's surprised that you're that strong.
Yeah, I'm strong.
Right? And that you've made up your mind that, you know, you'd rather be alone than live with somebody who's like this. And you'd
rather
be like,
home.
Live it. Homeless.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty.
Yeah.
That's pretty like saying all, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, at least it's
true.
Your own space and you feel safer.
Yeah, I do.
So, okay. And when you do park your car at night, I hope you stay in a place where you know is safe.
Well, I changed my area because he found out where I was at. So he was sending people where I was going and they were putting the brakes on me. And I had two flats this month in my tires.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I'm seeing he's not going to hurt you. You just have to keep, you know, just if he gets to be too much of a trouble, you got to call the police. But I think he's going to back off a little bit now. So, you know,
okay,
keep us posted.
My brother was going to call him. Do you think that would hurt or help? Well, because my brother's furious. My brother's in Long Island.
I wouldn't have your brother call now. If he bothers you again, have your brother call. Otherwise, just don't even do anything about it. You know, just don't contact him at all. If he bothers you again, have your brother call. You know, and, you know, I'm sure your brother will scare him.
Oh, yeah, he's a coward. He's definitely a coward. So you don't see him returning the money he took from me?
No, forget about that. Wait, are you kidding me?
Oh, boy. You don't think he's going to come
around? And I'll tell you, it's the best $100 you ever spent because, you know, because at least maybe, you know, he'll leave you alone because he doesn't want to have to pay it back to you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to pay it back to you, so.
Oh, my God. I mean, you don't think he's going to come around this area after me, do you? Or because he's 3 hours away.
No, he's not coming after you, no.
Oh, okay.
No. He's too busy on the porn sites. He can't pull himself away from the porn for 3 hours.
Ew,
you know?
That is disgusting. That's
it is disgusting.
No wonder why he expects, you know, every woman to look like a 20-year-old woman because of what he's looking at all day.
Well, that's, you know, that they're actually saying the latest studies and young men are so hooked on porn, 37% of them, they can't have sex with women. That's like normal women. They just can't. They need all these kinky images or whatever they're seeing, images
mm-hmm.
that are, you know, so photoshopped up or whatever it is. And it's like, it's ridiculous. But that's crazy. I mean, you know, just take care of yourself and relax a little bit and let us know when you get the job.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Nicole, we're going to try to get Jennifer. She wants some kind of validation.
Oh, yes. Well, just to bring things full circle here, Cindy, remember what we were talking about earlier when we first started about people not making your job harder, and sometimes when you're trying to not do something, you know, you're getting like the adverse result when you go to you know, psychics, so when you're looking for that kind of advice and such. Well, Jennifer
right.
would like to tell our listeners about her own experience when she recommended you and what
okay.
happened after that. So here we go with Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer.
Okay,
you're
sure.
on the air.
Hi, Cindy. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Jennifer.
I told my friend, I had a reading with you, and then I told my friend, I said, oh, have a reading with Cindy. She's really good. And so my friend had a reading with you, and she said, Jen, she was off on everything. So I said, well, why don't you talk to her and tell her? And so she said, you know, I appreciate the reading, but, you know, you're off on everything. And doesn't Cindy, you, say, you know what? I'm sorry you feel that way. Let's do it again. And you gave her another reading. You know, you didn't charge her again, and everything was bang on. And that's integrity.
Well, you know, so it's funny because sometimes it's like if people aren't cooperating at all and they're not
mm-hmm.
whatever, and it's
yep.
like, sorry. I mean, there's a point where there's, for me, it has to be, there has to be an opening into a vortex. In other words, like if the person's not cooperating at all, the vortex doesn't open because the universe is saying, this is a free will universe, and they obviously free will don't want a good reading. You know, they don't, you know, they don't want it. That's their free will. They're not cooperating. So we're not cooperating and opening a vortex. So if people then, I'm not kidding. The universe says, well, I guess that's the way it is. So I said, it's not up to me. It's not a testimony to me if I'm good or bad. It's a testimony to, is the vortex going to open because you're a person who genuinely wants some guidance. You're a person who genuinely wants and respects that this is something that will guide you and will help you. And so, I mean, I think it's just the same way in life. Do you know, like people, when the student is ready, the teacher will come, that expression. It's like, you know, it's like a word. Do you ever, like, never heard of a word in your life, and then all of a sudden for the next week, all you see is that word everywhere, and you wonder, how did I not know that word? It's because you weren't receptive to it. You weren't aware of it. You weren't open. And, you know, I'll always tell people, you know, I'll give, you know, it's only happened a very few times that I've ever had to do that, give someone another reading, and you know, I'll do it. Other times, like, they'll tell me I'm so wrong, and I'll say, well, I'll give you your money back, but I won't read you again because I can't back down on what I've said. I know it's right. And then a year later, they'll call me and say, you were 1,000% right. Can you read me again? I say, no. Because, no.
Good for you.
And I'll never read them again. I'm like, no. You know? And they can't believe it. And I'll just say, no. I mean, I said, I lost a week's sleep over that. Believe me, because I'm wondering, was I wrong? Was it not right? Should I have backed down? Should I have done, you know? And I'll just later on say, no. You know, sometimes you know, if you don't want to hear it, and, you know.
Sorry, my son's driving.
We want you to live to tell, please. I talk to enough dead people, Jennifer. I don't want to talk to another dead person, Jennifer, so stay alive, please. Please, I swear, if you die tonight, I'm not talking to you, okay? Never. I'll never talk to you again if you die, okay?
You're hilarious. I'm on Cindy's no-fly list.
Right, that's it. But, I mean, I appreciate you telling that because a lot of times, you know, what it is, it's just I'll just say to people, and sometimes I'm so tired because I do so many readings all day long, and I'm like, really? You're not going to cooperate at all? Go to somewhere else. I go, you know, why don't you go to, like, another psychic because a lot of them charge, like, $500 an hour. Why don't you bust their balls? Don't bust mine. Really, don't bust mine, okay? But, you know, it's funny because it does demand a little bit of let down your guard, let it in, trust that you're being guided. You'll know if it's true because it resonates with inside of you. You know, when you get a reading that's real, you know it. Like every bone in your body tells you it's correct. So, you know, I'm so glad you shared that with me. And I'm always like, anybody who knows me, you know, I want my clients to be happy. And if they're not happy, I certainly wouldn't keep their money. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, it doesn't happen very often. I actually remember the few times it's ever happened that I've given money back. I did give money back once from one because she was a lawyer, and she was calling for, like, about 6 months. And every time she said she can't find work, there's no work, this, that, another thing. And every time I would give her a suggestion, well, you are a lawyer, like, hang a shingle. Practice it yourself. She would say, that kid should give me a million reasons why. She had, like, a problem for every solution. And finally, I just said to her in the middle of the room, I said, you know what? I'm not the right reader for you because you don't hear anything that I say. You don't want to hear what I said. And I said, I'm just going to refund your money, but I can't help you. I mean, I don't think she could believe it, by the way. But I was just like, I just couldn't listen anymore. You're a lawyer. You can find work. Okay? Don't tell me there's no work for a lawyer. Don't tell me that. You can create a job as a lawyer out of an area, a website and some skills. You got a job going there. You know, I mean, it was just, and my husband couldn't believe it that day because, you know, I just told him the story. He goes, I can't believe you gave her back her money. I said, well, I could have gone on with the reading because she would be perfectly happy to pay me for the rest of her life, $100 every month, just for me to tell her the same stuff. But I can't do that. You know, I can't do that. If I'm not helping somebody, then I don't want to read them. It's a waste of their money and it's a waste of my time. But it is interesting. And thank you, Jennifer, for calling in and letting us know that.
Okay, and, my pleasure.
And I hope you're all well. And we're just about at the end of our show. And we don't want Blog Talk to cut us off. And we'll all speak soon. And tonight was a very interesting show. We actually had some good laughs that we could use, don't you think?
Yes.
We always could use a laugh, that's for sure. You know what I mean? What else? And the things that make us laugh are the things that would make us cry if we weren't laughing about them. So it's always interesting to have a good laugh. Well, thank you so much. And, of course, we'll all speak soon. Good night. And Nicole, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Jennifer, for not dying on the call tonight. And, Cindy, as always, you did a wonderful job. So have a wonderful night, everybody.
Hey, good night. Bye.